Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we have a beautiful privilege this morning. It was a surprise to us. And we have our precious brother, prophet, pastor, brother, Phil Cappuccio, to be with us. And I know the Lord has laid something on his heart that he's going to share with us. So keep your ears open, keep your heart soft, and receive what it is that the Lord wants to speak to you this precious, special morning. Come on up, brother. Love you.
Love you. And we love all of you. And before Brother Phil Cappuccio is going to speak, Sister Denise Cappuccio is coming up here. Y'all family, and so it's a joy really for us to, it's always a joy to be here, and it's a joy at this time of year to be with family and to be back with all of you.
Good morning, everyone. It's so good to be here. I haven't been in some time, and I know there's some new faces. So for those that don't know, I started coming to this church when I was about 6 or 7 years old, back in the 1970s. And so this is really home for me, and my mom was saved at that time when I was a little girl, and so it's always a blessing. And today I was just looking up at the sign, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's been there since that time, probably before me. And, he really is the same. In the middle of all, the years come and go, and they come and go faster and faster every single year, it seems. But he's the same, and I'm so thankful. We could always just, in the middle of everything that's shaking, the economy, our country, everything, we come back to the true north, the plumb line of his truth. And, in the middle of what we're seeing, what's going on in our world, I've been meditating on Isaiah 9, and Doreen read it earlier.
Yeah.
And the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There shall be no end to the increase of his government and of peace. He shall rule on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness, from that time forward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And, I was, before Christmas even came, I was just thinking about that scripture and saying, the increase of your government and of your peace. And it seems like everything but that is happening. There's just such chaos and confusion. And, as for those that don't know, I work for Concerned Women for America in the D.C. area, and we're standing for God's truth in different areas, family, all sorts of areas, and for things that are being fought in this day and age. And you just see the gender issue obviously is a big one for us now. And what's going on in the schools and teaching children they could choose what they want to be as far as boy or girl and all of that. And so it's just chaos and confusion. And it says of the increase of his government, which is his order and peace, there will be no end.
Right.
And it's like, Lord, instead it seems like this chaos is continuing and getting worse and worse. But this is his word is true, and it's going to happen. His government will be established, and his peace will be established from that time forward and forevermore. And Amen. So I'm just going to keep trusting that. I don't know how it is going to all happen, but he's coming, and he's going to establish his government and his kingdom, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And his zeal is accomplished, his zeal is in us. So I pray that God stirs up our zeal this year,
yes,
and in the coming
Lord.
Year, that we will be used to establish his government, to establish his kingdom for such a time as this, in whatever area he has placed each of us. So that's my prayer today. God bless you all. Have a Merry Christmas. And just don't let, even if it's not the best Christmas, not every Christmas is the best Christmas. We have a hope in the good times and the bad times. And so just,
Absolutely.
God bless you.
Okay, you stay right here, because you're going to help me.
Okay.
I want Denise just to stay here for a few moments. She's going to read the text, and then we'll pray, and I'll share some things that God has laid upon my heart. But I want you to begin with, we're in Luke chapter 2, and it's interesting, when we consider the birth of Jesus, and many of it is represented in our little nativity scenes. Of course, we have in Luke, we have the real story of his birth and the story of the shepherds and the theme of that birth is declared and proclaimed and sung by the angels, a Savior has been born. And I'm going to focus on that this morning. And then we have Matthew's gospel. Now, those wise men, and there were a lot more than three, they kind of made their way into the nativity, but in the true account, they weren't there at the manger. They came to Nazareth. And Jesus, they estimate, was probably about 2 years old. But it's tied in that they had seen his star and they traveled a great distance. But the theme of Matthew was, we've come to worship the King of the Jews. Now, he wasn't king yet. He wasn't sitting on the throne like he is now. He was still a babe, a child. So we have the theme of he being Savior. We have the theme of him being king. And then John tells us his origin. In the beginning was the Word. He takes us far beyond the manger, far past beyond Mary, to the very, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all men. And the good news is that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we have his divine origin, we have his divine purpose, which we'll speak about this morning, but then we have his divine calling, was that he would ultimately become King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But today, we're going to turn to Luke, and I'm going to ask you, hon, if you could read from verse 8 to verse 20. Verse 8 through 20. Okay. You could read that, and then we'll pray.
Okay. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go even to Bethlehem, and see this thing which came to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe laying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it, wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them.
Father, we just thank you for even the reading of your word. And now may the precious Holy Spirit open up the ears of our heart. Anoint us to hear your word. May it not simply be an old familiar story, somehow lost in the ongoing traditions that we share in each and every year, but may the life and the reality of what was born, who was born and laying in that manger, God be renewed in our hearts. And even as this word goes forth, may every heart burn. I think of those disciples that says, did not our hearts burn within us when he opened to us the scriptures? And so may our hearts burn anew. May our hearts burn afresh. Add blessing to your word. In the name of Jesus, we give you all thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, hon. I remember I say it's my favorite Christmas because it was the first Christmas I celebrated after I became a Christian and a believer. And the way I describe it, It's as real to me now. I remember I was 17 years old. It had just been a couple of months since I had come to Christ. But it was like, and this is descriptive of what happened to me when I became a Christian. It was like suddenly putting glasses on. You don't realize, you know, when I really first needed glasses, I was actually in my mid-20s, and I didn't realize my need for glasses and that I was squinting more and more, couldn't really see down the aisle. You know, you would read where the food is when you go shopping. Until one day I was with my friend. He said, gee, Phil, you're squinting a lot. He said, try these. And it just so happened that he didn't have, a severe prescription, a strong prescription. And the moment I wore them, it was like, what? Everything came into focus. That's what it was like the first Christmas. As much as I have precious memories, and I still think about the memories of when I was raised in the Bronx at my grandmother's table, and we all have different family traditions and memories and from when you're a kid, and I love all of that. But suddenly, the reality of what Christmas was all about, my glasses were put on. I still enjoy the fish, I still enjoy family, I still enjoy what we share in those traditions, but the reality of what and who Christmas is all about, that's when my glasses were put on and God opened up my eyes. That was my best Christmas, the first time it happened. I'll never forget it. And so this morning, I'm going to call today's message, The Shepherd's Joy. The Shepherd's Joy. Now, by this time, Denise read for us out of Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. But by this time, Mary and Joseph had made their way to Bethlehem. And this was no easy journey. About 90 miles from Nazareth, that's where they live, in Judea, to go to Bethlehem, the house of bread is what it actually means. And Jesus came, that's where David was born. And there's no better place. Everything that transacted as far as locations and all of the details of the birth was to fulfill prophecy. And it wasn't Mary and Joseph trying to fulfill prophecy. And that's interesting, and that's actually a lesson to all of us. The circumstances of life caused them to have to make certain decisions. Little did they know, and you'll read this repetitive phrase, that it might be fulfilled by the prophet saying. And so they were just making decisions as if an angel guided, if they had a dream, if they had a situation, no room in the inn. Joseph didn't come and say, you know what, the Lord's leading me to go to the barn. He didn't say that. There was no choice. But they had no idea that where they would lay that beautiful babe in the manger, and this shall be a sign to you. They had no idea that this was going to be some incredible sign to the shepherds out in the nearby fields of Judea. So, all that arduous journey, she was great with child. And now I just want you to know, and this is really important to understand. Again, we have our nice little nativity scenes. You know, they come in all shapes and sizes. They have the fancy ones, the very expensive ones. Now they have the ones out of olive wood. You can get them from Israel. And I remember the old-fashioned ones that, you know, I used to love setting it up as a kid. But in the nativity, usually there's just maybe a couple of shepherds, maybe three. I don't know if there's a specific number. Though, like I said, the wise men are usually in there, and they usually have just three wise men because they identify three gifts. But none of that is true to the narrative. You've got to understand. And it gets lost in the tradition. So let me just just give you some of the reality. First of all, with the wise men, even though we're not going to dwell on them, the Magi, that's what it's called, Magus, Magi. These were a special class of people from the Babylonian era, and that class of people had been a respected class. It was like the Magi were a combination of a priestly and a political, they had political clout. And so you had to be born as a Magi, and you were respected in the cultures and in the Middle Eastern culture, and they had authority. But when they came, there wasn't three. There was a whole entourage. Because remember, why were they coming? It was revealed to them that they were coming to worship a king. And so there's a whole royal protocol. You remember back in 1 Kings chapter 10, when the Queen of Sheba came to visit King Solomon. And it's very interesting because I call it the protocol of royalty. How many know the royals do things? We see it when we see the pomp and circumstance of the Brits, and there's certain everything, it seems like, how they eat, how they conduct themselves. There's a royal way. Everything is exact. Everything is right. Everything has a certain way about it for the royals. And so it was in the days of the Bible. And so when the Queen of Sheba came, knowing I'm going to visit a king, she came, the Bible says, with a very great train of gold. Because that was the honor of royalty. It demonstrated her honor, and it also demonstrated the showing of honor to the one that she was going to give the gold. And so it was with the Magi. And so they came with enormous treasure, and they came with gold, and they came with valuables, and it was all brought to the house in Nazareth of Mary and Joseph. Of course, it was brought for Jesus. And so let me just say, they had no problem funding his upbringing. They had no problem. How many know there's always gold in the will of God? I'm not saying you're going to get rich, but you'll always have enough to do what God's called you to do. And how many know? You know, if God's called you to do something and it would cost you $1 million to bring it to pass, if you have $900,000, how many know you didn't prosper? But if God called me to do something that would cost $50,000 to do, and I had $50,000 to do it, how many know I'm a prosperous man? Prosperity is not measured by the amount of money, but it's measured by whether or not you do the will of God. And let me tell you, when it's God's will, it's his bill. And so all of this provision, I believe, was made not only testifying of the kingship of Jesus, but it's also Mary saying yes. When she said yes, God reached into his treasure chest. You can never outgive God. The best thing you and I could always say, come on, somebody say it, say yes. Say yes, and it'll open up the windows of heaven. The Lord said, prove me. Prove me. See if I will not open the windows of heaven. And so we find, but now let's come back to the shepherds. There was not just a few shepherds that had this sign that the angels appeared to. Let's get the story straight. There were shepherds keeping their flock in the fields by night. Now let me tell you about Israel. Israel was basically an agrarian society. They were agriculturalists. They were farmers and shepherds. Those were the two, by far, the two greatest occupations that were represented in Israel. They were a gentle people. They were a shepherding community. They were farmers, and they lived off the land. And Now, they say back then, I did a little investigation, that in Judea, where Bethlehem was, and it was this little town of Bethlehem in Judea, they say there was about 5 million people at that time. The total population in all that area, not just in Bethlehem, in Judea, about 5 million people. Well, if there was 5 million people, the average family back then was about 10. Some had more, and some had less, like Jacob, 10. And so, and then Joseph's two, the 12 tribes of Israel. And so if you figure conservatively, average, if there was 10 per family, and there's 5 million people, let's say, so that's about how many families? 500,000. About 500,000 families. Do you know each one of those families, just for Passover, would need a lamb? Just to celebrate Passover the way we celebrate Christmas. I mean, that would be a lot of bacala. Each family needed a lamb to celebrate Passover. So the shepherds, and not all families were shepherds, and so the shepherds, Israel was filled with sheep and lambs just for that day. There would be needed 500,000 lambs just for Passover. Now think about all through the year of people that had to offer lambs for their atonement. All the sacrifices, you know, always coming, whether they were personal sins, sins of transgression, Day of Atonement, all the different... I mean, it was lamb, 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 lamb. And so the firstborn that opened up the womb was always to the Lord. The first portion was always holy to the Lord. It's called first fruits. And so the firstborn of even the flock was always separated unto the Lord. And so what they would do, what the shepherds would do, is, and then there were barns everywhere, you could imagine, they would take the firstborn lamb and quickly gather up that lamb and swaddle the lamb and lay it in the manger. Now the manger was not wooden back then, they were basically like cement. Lay it in the manger to keep the lamb quickly from being able to damage itself and to cut itself or anything. So then it would go through, while it's all swaddled, the lamb would go through inspection, and the shepherd would take time to inspect the lamb, so that knowing this lamb was going to be provided for some family, especially for Passover, somebody was going to buy this lamb, somebody was going to pay a price, because this lamb and the blood of this lamb was going to be used to cover a family. And so the lamb would go through inspection, and that's traditionally, that's what they did. That's why it was a sign to the shepherds. So when they came, nobody would lay a baby in a feeding trough, let alone give birth in a barn. But this was to be a sign to the shepherds. And so, now again, it doesn't say three shepherds. In fact, when it says, "Behold, I bring you glad tidings of great joy to all people, unto you, born this night in the city of David," the message of the angels was clear. Jesus is many things. He's deliverer. The Magi knew him to be the king, but unto you this day, a Savior. A Savior. And that's what we're celebrating. You know, we don't want Jesus, even as believers and people, and we don't want him to get lost in our traditions. We don't want him to get lost in all the trappings, and we see what Christmas has become in America, the commercialism. And usually he's just a token mention. but it's really about other things. And all the hustle and bustle, and people get sometimes have arguments over certain things, and if a food didn't come right, and if a gift wasn't given, and all, and somehow he got lost in Christmas, and it's all about him. Thank you for having service today, because I know we're going to enjoy ourselves. We have last night, and how many know the party continues for many of us, and we're going to enjoy ourselves later, and it's wonderful and it's great. But I'm glad that we can come, and we're in service today, let me tell you, not because of tradition, because it's reality to us. And I'm thankful for this house of God where we could come and we could say, you know what? It's not about gifts, and it's not about all the things later we'll be involved with. It is about us adoring and rejoicing with the shepherd's joy, because their joy has become our joy. Can you say amen? Amen. Give him praise. Give him praise. And so the shepherds, they understood the sign. So what I'm saying is, there was no room in the inn. One day I preached a message called No Room in the Inn. And how many temporary guests, temporary visitors made it so that there was no room for Christ to enter. Similarly, in our own hearts, we have a lot of temporary guests. Come on. We have a lot of desires and lusts and pleasures, temporary, and leave no room for the one that wants to live in our hearts. Any room in your inn tonight, this morning? But if it was an inn, you could only imagine the barn. Not only, this was not the barn to a house, this is an inn. This was a hotel. This was a place, a rooming house, a place for travelers, and it was always busy, and there was no vacancy. So the barn of the inn would have feeding trough after feeding trough after feeding trough, because many of them would come with livestock. And so in that barn, you could imagine, it was, what I'm saying is, it was a much bigger barn than the average barn where Jesus was laid. And that barn then had more animals than the normal barn. That means it had more animal noises, and you know what else it had more of in that barn. That was the environment he was to be born. And I don't know which feeding trough it was, but I guarantee you he wasn't one of five children in that barn. They didn't need to know which one he was. He's the only child. The sign was he's laying in the trough. And every shepherd, the reality came. Their eyes were open. The angel's message, this is the Lamb of God. This is the one. And that's why they couldn't keep it to themselves. As Denise read, I gathered that they stayed and they worshiped there. It's the night that Jesus changed the sound of the barn. And that's what he did in all of our hearts. Instead of hearing the groaning and all the sounds of the animals and just what barns host, songs were sung that night. Adoration was given that night. And the good news is that he still turns old barns into sanctuaries. Can you say amen? He takes the old filthy heart. He takes the place where we would be ashamed of some of the things that we allow in our hearts. Jesus said it's out of the heart. All thoughts of wickedness and fornication come. How many know we have a lot of unclean animals in our barn? But when Christ comes in, he takes that old barn and he turns it into a sanctuary. He gives us a song to sing. Just by his presence in that barn, suddenly shepherds were singing. So there had to be an entourage of shepherds. I mean, it's not the little nativity that fits on the mantle. Shepherds were watching and keeping flock by night, and the angel appeared to them all. And then when the angel, after his message, it said a whole heavenly host. This is not, you know, this was not three-part harmony with four angels. This was not that. Who? Thousands. 10,000. They practiced, brother. The choir was practicing for centuries to sing this song. And suddenly the sky lit up. You talk about the northern lights. It was greater than that because it was a whole fields of shepherds and the choirs of heaven. And the angel was speaking and revealing to all these shepherds. And suddenly all the shepherds, there was a move of God among the shepherds. They left the field and they all headed toward the barn. Could you imagine seeing this sight? Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens. That barn was filled with shepherds. My goodness, now there's no room in the barn. Because of all the shepherds. That's what this story is. Because Christ and his presence was in the barn. You know what, Pastor? I'm just going to say this. You know what we need? Our greatest need today in the church is more than anything else, and it always is the greatest need, is the presence of God. That's always the greatest need. And that's always the greatest jewel that we have, is the presence of God. And God will draw, and yes, we must share, but I'll tell you, because you could do a lot of things to get a crowd. Come on, even carnival barkers know how to get a crowd. And, you know, they used to have the circus under the big top. And Shambach used to say, invite your friend to the tent. Let them know you're bringing them to the circus. He said, and they'll come. And when they get here, Shambach said, I'll take care of the rest. You could do a lot of things to get a crowd, but God forbid that there's no presence in the house of God. This is to be called a Bethlehem. This is the Bethlehem of Copeg. This and other places where Christ is preached and honored and worshiped, it's a house of bread. The Bible says in the last days there'd be a famine. And there is a famine today. But not of bread and water, natural bread and water, but a famine for the hearing of the word of God. And I want to encourage every one of you that call this home, you better thank God for this house of bread. And make sure that you support it prayerfully, financially, and with your active attendance. Not just showing up, but there's a place for you to serve in the house of bread. This is a lighthouse, Pastor. And thank God. Thank God for the witness of this lighthouse throughout the year. Sister David, God bless you. Thank God. We honor you in our midst. The Lord bless you, Sister Davy. Amen. Amen. What I'm saying is this. Now listen, I'm only going to take a few more minutes. I know Christmas is all wonderful, but the moment the angel said a Savior was born, you really can't appreciate the message unless you know the bad news first. I mean, what are we saved from? Why do I need a Savior to begin with? The moment the angel says a Savior, it implies I need to be saved. That's the implication, the clear implication. I need to be saved. Now, many of us, that is part of our testimony, but sometimes, you know what? We serve the Lord so long that we could almost forget where we came from and what he saved us from and what he saved us for. But 30 years later, after the birth of Jesus, and then he's in the temple at 12, and then we don't hear about him, we don't read about him, while he's becoming a carpenter for 18 years, the next announcement came from the lips of his cousin and not an angel, and what was it? Behold, the Lamb of God. You see, Israel had been looking for a lamb. With all those sacrifices, it was revealed to Abraham. I believe Abraham was the one that gave this knowledge, because in the natural, it all came out of Abraham, the hope of redemption in that regard. Remember, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees in John 8, and he talked about Abraham, and he said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he rejoiced. And they said, how can Abraham have seen your day? You're not even yet 50 years old. And that's when Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And once he said, I am, they wanted to pick up stones and kill him because he was making himself as deity. And he who was, is, and he is to come. He is the great I am. But what was he talking about? Abraham saw my day. He was making clear reference. The word saw there means perceive. He was making clear reference to when Abram was instructed to take Isaac to Moriah. And when he took Isaac in Genesis 22, Abraham's walking with God. Isaac is now grown. He's no little babe. And we have a picture of the father with the son. He said, I want you to sacrifice your son on the mountain that I will show you. Abraham takes Isaac there. Isaac is carrying the wood, a type of Jesus carrying the cross. Abraham has no idea at this point, all of this, it's got to be done exactly right because it's going to serve as a type and shadow pointing to the reality of what would come. And so Isaac asked the father, he said, we have the wood, we have the fire, but where's the sacrifice? And I believe when Abraham said this, his eyes were open. He said, son, God shall provide himself a sacrifice. Not himself for, but that God himself would be the sacrifice. And it was at that time, suddenly he saw a male lamb, a ram, caught in the thicket. And they sacrificed the lamb and the ram in place of his son. And he saw that day looking forward. And I believe he communicated, there is a lamb that's coming. With every Passover lamb, with every lamb offered, they were looking by faith to a lamb that would one day come, the hope of Israel. So when the angel revealed it to the shepherds, this is the sign, and they saw a human and a babe in a manger. And the angel opened their eyes. They couldn't keep it to themselves. That's why I call it the shepherd's joy. They didn't say, oh, wow, that's something. That's nice. They couldn't keep it to themselves. It says they went into the area, into the town, and they told everybody about the lamb that has been born. And it says, and the people wondered at this saying. Could it be? Imagine the buzz. Could it be? Did you hear the shepherds? Yeah, I ran into him down the street. He said, the Lamb of God has come. Really? Who is it? I wonder who it is. But they didn't stay in Bethlehem very long. He came and was instructed then to go to Nazareth and into Egypt. And he was going to come out of Nazareth. So what I'm saying is, there was this question that was started by the shepherds. And John answered that question. That's why John made that announcement. Because all men were going. John created a great, great move. Everybody was going out and getting baptized, confessing their sins. And when John saw his cousin Jesus come to him to be baptized, he said, the Lamb of God. What's been rumored, there's the reality right there. Behold the Lamb of God. And John's disciples from that day started to follow the Lamb. The shepherd's joy. Couldn't keep it to themselves. And so a Savior was born. Quickly, what are we saved from? This is no new news. There's no hidden revelation here. But this is a remembrance for the reason of our celebration, that our celebration would never get lost in the tradition, but that it would be vibrant and stay alive within our hearts. And not just one day a year, but Christmas would be every day. As he's been born anew in this barn and in your barn. First of all, we're saved from sin. Let it be clear, we don't hear much. You hear it here, but we don't hear much today in America. And that's one of the problems. We don't even hear the word sin anymore. And let me tell you, Jesus didn't die for our issues. Everybody's got an issue. No, everybody's got a sin problem. Not just an issue. The Bible said by one man sin entered into the world, Romans 5:12, and death by sin, and so death passed upon, get it, all men, for that all have sinned. The pauper and the prince, the black man and the white man, the female and the male. And I don't care where you are, who you are, we're plagued with a common problem that puts us all on equal ground. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. In fact, sin is the reason from which all wars come from. It's the reason why there's wars in homes and wars in nations. Says, where does war come from? James said, I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from within. Even your own lust. And Jesus said, where all those lusts come from? The heart. Where there's envy and there's strife. It's the reason for all division. It's the reason. And this is why we as a church must realize that we really are the hope of a nation. The gospel message is the hope of a nation. We have the shepherd's joy. And as Pastor told us a few moments ago, whether you're called to be an evangelist, we're all called to evangelize. We're all called to share what the shepherds share. And now the baton's in our hand. You may not call to be a pastor, but how many know you're called to care for one another? Right? You're called to share with one another. The Bible says death, Romans 5:14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that didn't sin the same way Adam did. Who is the figure of him that was to come, and finally for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In other words, I'm not telling you anything new, but let's not forget the old. The reality is, I needed to be saved from my sin. The Bible said it's my sins that separated me from God. That means I was in a state of separation, alienation. I was alienated from the very life of God, and a very poor substitute was lifeless religion. I'll talk about that. I was disqualified, but I'm here to tell you the Lamb was born, and 33 years later that Lamb shed its precious blood and it qualified me. It took away my disqualified state, because God is holy. In him there is no sin. The Bible says there's no darkness at all. And the Bible says I was a child of darkness. Darkness filled my heart. We were incompatible. But it wasn't man that built the bridge. It was God that built the bridge by sending his son. But you know, I'll tell you what. It didn't just happen 2,000 years ago. We see the hand of God reaching out to build this bridge right from Genesis. Right from the first man, Adam, when he sowed and they made for themselves aprons out of fig leaves. That was insufficient. That would have never lasted to cover their own nakedness. But you know what the Bible says? God made for them coats of skin. Now, it doesn't say specifically, but I know where those skins came from. A lamb. How do you know that? Because everything after that Genesis, it was a lamb. A lamb, a lamb. So in Genesis, it's a lamb for a man. And God made the covering. And it showed you the heart of God, that only God could provide the covering that we need. We are unable to adequately cover ourselves. And God has covered us with righteousness, robes of righteousness. And then later on, when they came out of Egypt, centuries later, like I said, when Passover started, it was enough lamb to cover a household. So we see that in the redemptive plan of God, it widens. It gets greater. A lamb for a man, a lamb for a house. Enough lamb now that can cover the house and the family. And that's wonderful. And then we find they come out of Egypt and they're in the wilderness, and God gave law and God established in the building of the tabernacle, and a whole priesthood is established. All this testifying of the great high priest and the work of Christ. And now there's enough lamb for a nation. And the Day of Atonement, the blood dealt with and covered the sins of a nation. But let me just say, all those lambs, it's like snow. We didn't get much snow here. They got a lot of snow up in Buffalo. And you know what they call those big trucks and plows? Snow removal equipment. But let me ask you a question. Does it really get rid of the snow? Not really. It just pushes it out of the way so that you could drive. But it doesn't get rid of the snow at all. It just pushes it out of the way. And that's what happened in the law. Every lamb that was offered, it was like a plow. It couldn't get rid of sin. It just pushed it out of the way for another day. Pushed it out of the way for another year. But you're going to need, it's going to snow again. Going to need another lamb. Going to need more blood. And so it was a system that couldn't take away sin. But when John announced and he saw his cousin, what did he say? The Lamb of God that takes away the sin of a whole world now. Starting from a man, a house, a nation, and now there's enough blood out of him that could deal with the whole world. Wow. That's why the angel said, glad tidings of great joy to all people. Wow. And when Jesus was born, how many know he wasn't snow removal equipment? When the Son of Righteousness began to rise, the rays of grace and redemption melted that snow away. Can you say amen? He took our sin away. Glory! I'm no longer separated from God. He built the bridge. I needed to be saved from being disqualified, but I was saved for being qualified because I was created to live in God. I was created to live in God. And I had a problem. I teach oftentimes that in creation, God, everything God created needed a right environment and it needed a right purpose. Everything God creates has a purpose and an environment for it to fulfill its purpose. Everything God makes. So when God created the fish, he put the fish in the sea. For the fish to proliferate, how many know it's got to stay in the water? If you take that bass right out and say, I think I'm going to put it up into the nest. You know, you got all parrots around here. It's amazing. Put it in that parrot's nest. How many know the bass is going to die? Why? Someone say, wrong environment. Wrong environment. It wasn't made to live in a nest. But if I take that parrot, that green parrot, and I put its head under the water and say, I'm just going to change the both of them. Go ahead, little parrot. Go ahead and multiply. How many know that parrot's going to be floating down the river? Why? Wrong environment. Wasn't made to live in that environment. Well, God made man in his own image. And he gave us a capacity so that God himself would be our environment. In the natural, we're made from the earth and for the earth as far as that goes. But I'm not just an earth man. How many know I got a spirit? And God is spirit. And my spirit requires connection with God for me to prosper and to be everything God called me to be, even in the earth. Can you say amen? Amen. And so Jesus puts me back into the right environment, taking away the sin. And now I can live in fellowship with God. This is Christmas. This is Christmas. By doing that, he saved me from a lifetime of dead religion, a poor substitute. This is what happens. Man, the Bible calls it dead works. It said through his blood, he purged our conscience from dead works. In other words, works that could never really deal with the sin issue. Going through efforts and labors and special criteria, but it couldn't change my heart. This was the thing that God used to speak to me at 17. The pastor preached. I don't remember the sermon, but I do remember this. When he gave the invitation at the end, he said these words, and I remember them like they were yesterday. The Holy Spirit used it to illuminate it to me. He said, if you don't have the assurance for the forgiveness of sins, you could have it tonight. Somehow the word assurance, I was wrestling with some guilt over some things. And that word assurance, and I was a good Catholic boy, altar school, Catholic school. And, you know, we were practicing Catholic, and we practiced pretty good. We got it pretty good. But how many know all those dead works couldn't change, couldn't take the guilt away? It couldn't do anything. And when he said assurance, it was like a neon sign. And the Lord used that to draw my young heart to him. And that night, October 15th, 1978, I got assurance. I knew that I knew that I knew, Brother Rich. I tell you what, I couldn't quote a Bible verse, but his spirit bore witness to my spirit. I was now a child of God. It was Christmas in October for Phil Cappuccio, let me tell you. Can you say amen? Amen. We were saved from the powers of darkness. Whether we knew it or not, the Bible says we were in the grip of darkness. The Bible says that he delivered us from the powers, plural, of darkness. You see, the Christmas announcement wasn't made when the angel came to Mary. We call that the Annunciation. But there was an announcement long before that. It was in Genesis when God told the serpent, I'm going to put a war between you and the woman, your seed and her seed. Oh, you'll crush his heel, but he's going to crush your head. How many know that was the first Christmas announcement and God made it, not Hallmark? God announced a coming seed. A seed is coming. A victorious seed, one that will destroy the head of the serpent, who is Satan. Because his power through sin and through man's disobedience, even as the devil told Jesus when he showed him the kingdoms of the world, he said, if you'll bow down and worship me in the wilderness of temptation, he said, I will give you all this which was delivered to me. Where did he get it from? Adam. Now, I got to tell you, I know we're going to be changed. I know we're going to be in perfection. But I don't know. When I see Adam, I think I want to kick him in the shin a little bit when I see him. I know God made cuts. What did you do? Listen, that was the first announcement. God was basically saying, Christmas is coming to the devil. Christmas is coming. The seed is coming. The seed that will crush you. We're delivered from that. And let me tell you else we're delivered from. And we don't hear much about this anymore. I was delivered from eternal damnation. That I could not deliver myself from. You know, the reality is this. Every man born is on death row. That's so true. The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. There's already a sentence of condemnation. It doesn't happen well when I was 15. I did something. Now I'm going to face judgment. We're born judged because we're born in sin. And we're walking through life, whether it's 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, we're dead men walking. And whether we want to believe it or not, we believe it. Whether the world wants to believe it or not, it is once appointed unto man to die, and then not a judgment, the judgment. When everything is laid before him and the books are open and every man's works will be before him. Daniel spoke of it when seeing this before the Ancient of Days, and John spoke of it. And that's why Jesus told his disciples when they came back so excited, casting out devils, because he said, I'm giving you authority to do it. Heal the sick. Preach the good news of the kingdom. They came back. They said, Lord, we can't believe the devils are subject to us. You had to see the authority I had in your name. And they were all filled with joy. And Jesus said, that's great, but rejoice rather. He prioritized their joy. It is great. Great when people get healed. It's great when people get delivered. It's great when God does many things, but Jesus said nothing could match this joy. What is that? That your name is written in the book of life. Yeah. Hallelujah. And you know what? I don't know what it's going to be like, but I believe what the book says. And in that moment and in that day, when there is, I hear those words, well done. My good and faithful servant, enter in. In that moment, I'm not going to think about the things that might have excited me, how God may have used me, or who God healed, who I prayed for. The reality of my acceptance. The reality that I've passed from death to life in that moment. The reality of the things that at one time I would have been ashamed of is not even mentioned on the lips of the judge of all judges. In that moment, and that's what Jesus was saying, that moment is coming. Everything else is wonderful, but it all pales in comparison to your name being in God's log for eternal life. Hallelujah! Come on, we're talking Christmas. Say, did you have to say this? Yeah, I did. You know why? You can never appreciate the after unless you see the before. You can't. And I tell you what, I want to just finish with this one scripture, and I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor. Titus chapter 3, and I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified because this is a scripture that applies to every one of us. I call it the before picture. This is Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we also were once thoughtless. It's all we. We were senseless. We were obstinate. Has anybody here ever been obstinate? Okay. We were disobedient. We were deluded. We were misled. I'm reading it out of the Amplified. For we too were once slaves to all sorts of cravings and pleasures. We even wasted our days with malice, jealousy, envy, hateful, and at times, hating one another. How many made the list? Yeah, we all did. We all did. We all did. We all were in that list. Thank God the list didn't stop there. It says, but then the goodness and the loving kindness, watch this, of God, our Savior, appeared to man. He saved us. Not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but because of his own pity and mercy, by the cleansing of the new birth, regeneration, and he renewed us in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out so richly upon us through Jesus Christ. Once again, listen, our Savior. And he did this in order that we might now be justified by his grace, by his favor, wholly undeserved, that we might be acknowledged and counted as conformed to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action, that we might become heirs of eternal life and according to our hope. Next verse, verse 8, I'm going to read it in the King James. Paul said, this is a faithful saying. In other words, you could depend on this saying. And these things, church at Copeg, I will that you keep affirming it constantly. You know what it means to affirm something? It means keep rehearsing the reality of it. Don't ever forget you were in the list. Don't ever forget that list. Don't ever forget you were in the before picture. Never forget that. And never forget the only reason you and I are in the new list and are in the after picture, because the goodness and kindness of God appeared. Even God, our Savior. Wow. Hallelujah. A covenant of grace, that's what Christmas is. I want you to know hope was born in that manger, laid in that manger. Salvation was laid in that manger. The reason I could believe God was laid in that manger. He's the amen of God. He's the confirmation to every other promise. Looking unto Jesus, he's the reason in that manger. The hope for eternal life, for my eternal life, was laid in that manger. May we not lose this reality in the middle of the traditions. That's all good, but it all pales in comparison. That for those of us like the shepherds, I believe what God is saying is, and now, centuries and two millennia later, I want you all to participate in the shepherd's joy. I'm here to tell you the shepherd's joy is Phil Capuccio's joy. And like the shepherds of old who went out and they spread the word, what America needs today, by families, by neighborhoods, by towns, is they need once again to hear the joy of the shepherds. Unto us a Savior's been born. He wants us to say it in Congress. He wants it said in the schools. He wants it said where there is the deep divide of black and white. So wait a second. Before you kill one another and hurt one another. Hey, Mr. Black Man, a Savior's been born. Hey, Mr. White Man, a Savior's been born. It's the hope for every generation. It's the answer. And that's what Christmas is. Stand with me to your feet. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel good in God this morning. I really do. Hallelujah. Go ahead, give him praise. Don't you dare pitter-patter. If the choir of angels could sing about it, how about the choir of the redeemed? Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Can you say amen? Well, this morning, maybe you heard God. Maybe you're in this room. I'm not going to just assume everybody has met the Savior. Maybe you haven't. Maybe there's one person. And you came here this morning. Maybe you weren't even going to come. It was too cold. You got to bed too late. There were many two reasons for you not to be here. But this morning, you're here. You're not here by mistake or by coincidence. God had you here because he wanted you to hear the angel's announcement. Unto you. Someone say, unto me. Unto me, a Savior has been born. And he'll take that old barn, he'll take that life that stinks of everything associated with sin that you can never scrub yourself clean from. I don't care what religion, you could be a member of them all, and they don't have the detergent that can clean the heart. There's not one that man's able to make for that. But the Bible says in Revelation 1:5, we've been washed by his blood. Only the blood can cleanse the heart. And so this morning, if you want the assurance of the forgiveness of sins, and you're standing there and say, you know, this message really touched my heart, and it's not so much the message, it's the word of God. It's because the Lord is wanting it to become personal to you. I'd like us all on this Christmas then to simply make confession. And I'd like you to join us. And I'd like us all as the church hold fast a profession of our faith. Let's say it together. Lord Jesus, today we remember your birth. That you are our Savior. And you have filled our hearts with joy. Because we needed to be saved. And we embrace you as our only Savior. You are my personal Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus, this has brought me great joy. And now we ask that you use our lives like those shepherds of old. To share the good news with others, to the hurting and to the lost, that a Savior has come to the earth. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you all the thanks and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give him praise, give him glory, give him honor. Come on. Give him honor. He's worthy to be praised. Glory to God. Pastor, keep being a lighthouse. This is a lighthouse, always has been, and still called to be a lighthouse to a new generation. I want to encourage some of you. You may have an opportunity. I heard Pastor Loud and Claire. He said, when God gives it, take it. That's what he said. Man, that went right into my heart. God may give you an opportunity today with a family member, maybe a cousin, an aunt, uncle, mom, dad, you don't know. Somebody who may be as near and dear to you, and it's the one that you least thought of, today may be the day God gives the opportunity. And you know what? You're the shepherd. You're the shepherd to bring the good news. May the Lord anoint you. May the Lord use you. And with 2023 just days away, may God use us all to publish good news to this nation and be a light in darkness. Can you say amen? God bless every one of you. It's so wonderful to be with you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you, Brother Phil. Hallelujah. You know, as I was listening to our brother, I was thinking of something. I know you're supposed to be listening. You're not supposed to be thinking. But I was doing both at the same time. And, you know, I believe that honor should be given where honor is due. And I want you to know how much I appreciate you, Brother Phil. And you know what the Lord showed me? This may sound crazy. I went to school. I got a degree in electrical technology. And I remember studying. And when they invented electricity, they tried different things for the electricity. Electricity wouldn't travel through wood. It wouldn't travel through cloth. And they found it traveled through water. And it traveled pretty good. And then they found it traveled through metals better. And they tried steel. And it traveled through steel, but there was a lot of resistance. And then they tried tin. And it was better. And then they tried aluminum, and it was better yet. But then they found copper. And it traveled with practically no resistance at all. And the Lord just says, you know, Brother Phil, he's copper. You allow his word to travel through you so freely and without so little hindrance, and it just gets to its destination in the easiest and quickest way. You're copper to me, brother, and I love you for it. Amen. Let's all go home and enjoy our families. Hopefully you'll be with families or friends or loved ones. And if he makes the opportunity, take the opportunity. Amen. God bless you. We love you.
Something that's of worth that will pay.